You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Good morning, everyone. On Capitol Hill yesterday, you could hear the beginnings of the end, maybe, of a controversial policy that dates from the Clinton era. For 17 years, don't ask, don't tell has been the doctrine for gays serving in the U.S. military. In that time, there have been studies documenting the effect of the policy, which was enacted by Congress. There have been political movements devoted to changing the policy and cautious warnings about how disruptive it would be to have openly gay members in the services. But yesterday, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen, testifying before the Senate Armed Services Committee, said it was time for a change.
It is my personal belief that allowing gays and lesbians to serve openly would be the right thing to do.
His personal belief. But Senator and former Navy pilot John McCain said to Mullen that such a change could upset a fragile apple cart that don't ask and don't tell has kept upright for nearly a generation.
It has helped to balance a potentially disruptive tension between the desires of a minority and the broader interests of our all-volunteer force.
There's a feel of the voices in Congress before the Armed Services Committee yesterday. Meanwhile, in the broader culture, this tension referred to by Senator McCain is reflected in bans on same-sex marriage, a politically divisive issue. But also, it's a much more open conversation. In fact, the question of who's gay and who's not is beyond open in civilian culture. It's kind of everywhere.
You know how I know you're gay?
How?
You're not so crazy about Gloria Estefan, but you love Miami Sound Machine.
You know how I know you're gay?
How?
Every time we go out to eat, you want to sit on the terrace.
You know how I know you're gay?
How?
You're always talking about public radio.
Man, how insulted would a gay guy be if he was here?
Certainly an argument can be made that Seth Rogen and Paul Rudd there are signs of the decline of civilization on many levels. But without question, it is a completely different conversation in the civilian world than it's going to be in the military and the services as they begin a one-year study of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Joining us once again is retired Colonel David F. Beatty, 30-year veteran of the U.S. Army. For 12 years, you were on the senior faculty of West Point, right, Colonel?
That's correct.
And you're joining us from your home in Montana. Welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thanks, John.
How's this going to work? You know, we heard that silly kind of tongue-in-cheek Seth Rogen clip there from a skit they did on television. But say openly gay people can serve in the military. How's that going to change the conversation, say, at the enlistee level? You know, maybe not in combat, but where actually men and women are working side by side. How's it going to work?
Well, you know, I think that that remains to be seen. It's a fact that we do have homosexual people serving in the military right now. The current policy allows that, as Senator McCain pointed out. It just requires a great degree of discretion. I think that the major difficulty that we'll see, though, with open service in the military will not be reflected so much at the unit level. I expect that there will be some effects there. But I think that the larger effect is the effect that it will have on the entire military community. What most people don't understand, because, frankly, since we have an all-voluntary force now and have had for decades, is that the military is a pretty cloistered sort of community, kind of like a gated community.
Right. It's
a lot different than the rest of society. It's much more culturally conservative. And we could spend an entire segment talking about why that might be the case, but I think that most would agree that that is so.
Although, Colonel, there are you know, conservative movements in the civilian world that have homosexuals in them. A lot of prominent Republicans during the Reagan era were openly gay.
May well be the case. I think what a major source of concern for many people in the military who are concerned, who harbor concerns about open homosexual serving, is the motivation of the advocates of this movement. We think, I mean, some of us believe, that the next step will be a move to extend full rights to same-sex couples. President Obama is committed to that. And full federal recognition. The military provides an easy place to make that happen, and what many of us think may be the consequence of that is the introduction of same-sex couples in military family housing areas.
You've certainly identified a controversy that exists both in the civilian world and in the military world. But listen to, and you couldn't find a more buttoned-up officer than Joint Chiefs of Staff Admiral Mike Mullen testifying yesterday. He says there's a moral issue here. Listen to this, and then I just want to see if you recognize this at all.
I cannot escape being troubled by the fact that we have in place a policy which forces young men and women to lie about who they are in order to defend their fellow citizens.
Now, that, of course, is his personal view, but do you deny there's a moral issue there?
Well, technically, there is not a requirement to lie in order to be in the service if you're a homosexual. There is a requirement that you serve discreetly and not make your private business the business of other people. And I think many of us are more comfortable when folks keep private matters to themselves.
Now, one of the things you argue in an essay that I read this morning is that the cohesion of the military is really at risk here, that the specialization of the military community, and you've described it as a kind of a gated community, right?
Yes.
Means there are special rules and people have to follow them. Is there evidence that openly gay people in the military don't follow those rules, that they behave in ways that are disruptive?
Well, at this point, we don't have openly serving gays in the military, so that is a proposition that needs to be tested. Once again, I think that the most significant problem that we see, the most destabilizing thing, will be the furthering of the homosexual agenda within a very traditional culture that has developed, and it is a culture that is fundamental to maintaining the cohesion of the units. You cannot think of our military today simply as a collection of soldiers or collection of units. It's a collection of soldiers, units, and the families that stay behind or have to deal with the hardships that are associated with military service.
But does disagreement over issues like homosexuality affect readiness and manifest themselves differently than disagreements over politics or anything else that soldiers are likely to disagree about?
I think that because of as Colin Powell pointed out, the fundamental human characteristic associated with your sexuality and your sexual orientation is much deeper and affects people much deeper and more viscerally even than our politics do, which is kind of hard to believe given the politics that we have in this country right now.
Well, Colonel David Beatty, thanks so much for giving us a feel for how this conversation is going to begin in the military over the next year as they study Don't Ask, Don't Tell. David Beatty is a 30-year veteran of the U.S. Army, 12 years on the senior faculty of West Point, lives in Montana. Thanks so much for being with us.